Devaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, Text Number 4. Darshito yam maya charo, dharmam udvahatam dhuram. Darshito yam maya charo, dharmam udvahatam dhuram. Darshita, revealed. I am this maya, by me, achara, way of life, dharmam, religious principles, udvahatam, for those who are bearing, dhuram, the burden. Translation, I have revealed this way of life for those bearing the burden of mundane religious principles. Purport ordinary religious principles prescribing innumerable rules, regulations, and prohibitions are undoubtedly a great burden for those bereft of Krishna consciousness. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.11 it is stated, Bhurini Bhuri Karmani Shrotavyani Vibhagasha. There are countless religious scriptures in the world prescribing countless religious duties. The authorized scriptures are those spoken by Lord Krishna himself or his representatives, as stated in this verse. In the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Lord Krishna states, Sarva dharman parityajya mamikam sharanam vraja. One should give up the troublesome burden of mundane piety and directly take to the loving service of the Lord, in which everything is simplified. Lord Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita 9.2, Susukam kartam avyayam. The bhakti yoga process, which depends completely upon the mercy of the Lord, is very joyful and easily performed. Similarly, Lochan Das Thakur sings, Parama Kuruna Pahundui Jan Nittai Gora Chandra Sabhavatar Sarasiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna himself, appeared 500 years ago to distribute the sublime method of chanting the holy names of the Lord. In this way, rather than bearing the burden of artificial austerity, one can directly take to the Lord's service, cleansing one's heart and immediately experiencing transcendental bliss. Those who have taken to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement follow four basic principles. No illicit sex, no eating of meat, fish or eggs, no intoxication and no gambling. They rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, and spend the day happily engaged in the Lord's service. Those who follow the ritualistic karmakanda section of the Vedas, however, are burdened with innumerable regulations, rituals, and ceremonies which must be personally performed by the worshipper or performed on their behalf by qualified brahmanas. At any moment, there is a danger of discrepancy resulting in the total loss of their accumulated piety. Similarly, those on the philosophical path must painstakingly define, refine, and adjust philosophical categories, a process that generally ends in confusion and hopelessness. The practitioners of mystic yoga undergo grueling penances, subjecting themselves to severe heat and cold, near starvation, and so on. All such materialistic persons have personal desires to fulfill, whereas the devotees of the Lord who desire the Lord's pleasure simply depend upon the Lord's mercy and go back home, back to Godhead. In the previous verse, the Lord mentioned that in the material world, there are endless distinctions and value judgments to be made in the course of one's life. A devotee, however, sees Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna, remaining humble, simple, and blissful in the Lord's service. He does not perform elaborate religious ceremonies, nor does he become antisocial or immoral. The devotee simply chants the holy name of Krishna and easily achieves the highest perfection of life. Ordinary persons endeavor for bodily maintenance, but a devotee is automatically maintained by the Lord's mercy. A devotee's ordinary dealings and religious activities are also all dedicated to the personality of Godhead. Thus, there is nothing but Krishna in a devotee's life. Krishna gives all protection and maintenance, and the devotee gives everything to Krishna. This natural liberated situation is called Krishna consciousness. It is the ultimate absolute good as explained by the Lord throughout this canto. Darshito yam mayacharo dharmam udvahatam duram. Translation. I have revealed this way of life for those bearing the burden of mundane religious principles. So in these previous verses here, Lord Krishna has stressed the importance of practice of devotional service and study of the philosophy, analytical study of the philosophy, understanding who we are, who is Krishna, what is our relationship with Krishna, how to develop that relationship, how the material world functions, why the living entities are entrapped in a material world, how they are subjected to the laws of karma, which cause them to take birth again and again in different species of life. These topics are to be understood, and especially important is to understand how to get out of the material world, how to change one's consciousness, because our sojourn in the material world is a result of our consciousness being contaminated by desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, desire to lord it over the material nature. This causes a bondage. Iccha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani samoham sarga yanti parantapaha. Krishna says that in the material world all living entities are born in delusion, overcome by the duality of desire and hate. So Prabhupada explains that iccha, desire, is a desire to oneself be the enjoyer, the supreme enjoyer, as it were, to occupy the position of Krishna, push Krishna out of the picture, and then I am the enjoyer, I'm the master, I am the center of attention. This is a desire, material desire, the origin of material desire. And dvesha, hate, Prabhupada said, the materially contaminated living being, he hates that there's anybody better than him or greater than him. He doesn't want to accept Krishna's authority or the authority of Krishna's devotees or his representatives. See, so this is a desire and hate which is causing delusion, which overcomes the living entity. His consciousness becomes filled up with this this contamination of desire and hate. And the result, he becomes bound up in a material world. And because of desire, that desire multiplies, of course, becomes myriad, multifarious material desires arise within his consciousness and cause him to, action is caused by desire, so cause him to act in ways which create karma. If he's sinful, then he creates bad karma. But even pious persons, they have many material desires. But he just wants to fulfill those material desires in a very, authorized way, as it were. upstanding citizens. They want to follow all the laws very nicely, become role models for others in the material world, doing everything by the book. Yeah, we see in the society, you know, usually government leaders are expected to be like that. Role models. Now some sports star does something wrong and everyone's chastising you. You have to be role model for the others, members of society. Of course, their definition of role model is, by, you know, Krishna conscious terms, is a degraded person, actually. Maybe not as degraded as persons who don't follow the laws, but still degraded because, you know, the laws of the land permit all kinds of sinful activities and accept them as normal. But then again, there are those who are, you know, trying to study, not only follow laws of the land, but also religious laws. Persons who study the scriptures and they try to follow them as best as possible, just like in India, the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, and there's so many rituals and yajnas, different kinds of pujas for, you know, worshipping the demigods and so forth. So some people are very meticulous in following. In South India, there are many such meticulous brahmanas who are very expert in studying the Vedas and performing all kinds of rituals. So they are generating good karma, but again, they have material desires. They are approaching the demigods for different kinds of material benedictions. So despite generating good karma, they remain bound in the material world. So we have to understand how the laws of karma work. That's why it's important to understand the philosophy. What are the consequences of acting in different ways? Krishna himself, in a Bhagavad Gita, he analyzes action in great detail. Different kinds of activities, charities, sacrifices, etc. Those in the mode of goodness, those in the mode of passion, those in the mode of ignorance. And what will be the consequences of acting in those various ways, so that one can understand the choices before one. We are born in a particular body, particular family, particular society by the arrangement of karma, but we also, and so in that sense, you know, it is sometimes said that everything is predetermined. Well, yes and no. It, to some extent, predetermined. To a great extent, predetermined. We are, you know, we are very restricted by the particular type of body that we have. If you have a male body, you tend to act in a particular way, female in another way. They're interrelated, of course, but still, the different kinds of, you know, desires, aspirations, which are, you know, very much influenced by the type of body that we have. Or you're born in a particular family, so the other family members are also putting pressure on you to act in a particular way. Or you're born in a particular country. So again, you know, there's a particular kind of conditioning that goes with that. So there's some individual karma, but also some kind of collective karma that is influencing. So we are forced to act within certain parameters. You may want to go out of the door and just take off and fly to Tasmania. You know, maybe an albatross can do that, but we can't. We are restricted by the particular kind of body that we have. Of course, human society has developed, you know, airplanes and so forth. It's possible to fly to Tasmania, but not directly from Melbourne Temple. You'll have to buy a ticket, you'll have to go to the airport, you have to check in, etc., etc. And you can't land wherever you like in Tasmania. You have to go to the, you know, airports where the flights go to. You might want to fly off to the moon, but you can't. You might want to dive deep into the ocean. Well, we can to a certain extent with some help of some oxygen. Have to be trained also. But there are many aquatics deep within the ocean. See, this is their natural habitat. But they can't just come here and walk into the temple. They're restricted by their particular kind of body. So like that, many things are predetermined in our lives. And especially for animals and other creatures, it's very difficult to change their position. Generally, they just have to live out the lifespan that they get in any particular body, and then they're transferred to another body. So according to their karma, gradually they may move through different species of life and come to the human form of life. But human being does have some independence, some choice, some free will, limited, but he has within certain parameters, he has free will. So that's why Krishna is educating us here in the 11th canto, also in the Bhagavad Gita, about the different choices that we have and the consequences of those choices. So we shouldn't be surprised if we choose to act in passion ignorance. We shouldn't be surprised if we get particular results which may not be so palatable, disturbing to us, or we can't accomplish what we want, and then we keep being agitated by more desires for more kinds of material things, and it goes on and on. Can it, the whole life and the next life? This is the consequence of action in passion and ignorance. Action in goodness also binds one to the material world. Yagyartat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartha karma kontya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice to the Lord has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world, even if it's in the mode of goodness. Person become conditioned by the mode of goodness, they may rise to the heavenly planets, but they're still under the grips of karma, and the good karma will run out sometime and they'll come back down again. So it's especially in a human form of life that karma is generated, good or bad. So in the scripture, in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is teaching us how to get free from this influence of karma, how to get free from the cycle of birth and death. But we can't do it simply by stopping activity, as the impersonalists claim. True, they understand we're a spirit soul, and because of our activities, we are creating karma. They understand that. But their solution is to stop everything. Action causes suffering, and no action means no suffering, no karma. So like that, they try to merge into the Supreme, giving up their individuality, but it doesn't work. You may become adept at meditation, impersonal Brahman. So you can meditate for, you know, somewhat lengthy periods. But eventually, desires will again arise within the consciousness, within the heart. And again, one will perform activities. And those activities will create karma, even if they're in the mode of goodness. So we are active by nature, and Krishna says no one can stop acting even for a moment. We are forced to act. Or even if we're not physically active, we'll be mentally active or vocally active, thinking or talking. And anyway, we'll be physically active. We breathe and we kill germs and so forth. We eat. We kill other living entities to eat. There's karma connected with it. Even vegetarians are getting some karma because they're killing other living entities to eat. So this is not possible to become free from karma by ceasing from activity or acting in the mode of goodness. But Krishna is teaching us a path of action which has the wonderful magical effect of not creating karma and of gradually destroying one's previous karma. So that is the path of devotional service. Devotional service allows a person to be active, to have desires, but to focus those desires and activities in the service of Krishna. So it's called akarma. There is no karmic burden created by such activity. Rather, it gradually lessens that karmic burden and destroys that karmic burden. So very powerful process. Because it's a process of associating with Krishna. We study the lives of devotees there, busy in activities connected to Krishna, chanting the Lord's holy names, hearing the Lord's instructions, worshipping the Lord, performing varieties of service to the Lord. So that keeps them connected to Krishna, gives a means to associate with Krishna. And Krishna is Pavitram Idam Uttamam. He is the supreme purifier. So if one is constantly associating with Krishna through these various means, various aspects of devotional service, then that association with Krishna acts upon him. It influences his consciousness, transforms his consciousness, purifies the consciousness, and consequently it purifies also, subsequently purifies the mind, the body. So it's a very powerful process. And as a result of that transformation of consciousness, a living entity, a person, develops a consciousness similar to the inhabitants of the spiritual world. That is their consciousness, always absorbed in serving Krishna. Not interested in things not connected to Krishna. So, when the consciousness is prepared in that way, focused in that way, then it's natural for a living entity to go to a spiritual world. Once I was in Prabhupada's room, I remember him saying that material means forgetfulness of Krishna. Spiritual means remembrance of Krishna. Even the devotees living in the material world, if he's using everything in Krishna's service, if he's absorbed in Krishna's service, then he's considered, he's on the spiritual platform, his life is spiritualized. It's an example a prophet gave, I remember from long ago, like a coconut. When the coconut is young, the what they call the meat of the coconut on the inside, the pulp, it's connected to the shell. But when a person becomes very Krishna conscious, it's like that dry coconut, where the pulp becomes hardened on the inside, it becomes free from the shell. You can rattle it. So in the same way, a devotee may be living in the material world, in the material body, but you know, he's become detached from the material body. He become attached to Krishna. And that attachment to Krishna qualifies him to go to the spiritual world, qualifies him to be unaffected by the modes of material nature. So therefore, very powerful process. And you know, we get education in so many different topics, but it's most important to be educated in this topic, because if one can understand properly his position and how to advance in spiritual life, then he can adjust all the other aspects of his life to support that goal. And it will also influence others that he comes in contact with. People become devotees because they meet other devotees and they hear from them, see their example, and then take up Krishna consciousness. They see devotees are enthusiastic, happy, blissfully serving Krishna, that they also want. People are looking for happiness. They're struggling in the material world trying to get happiness. People think if they become rich and famous, they become happy. But the rich and famous have so many problems in their lives. People are always, the paparazzi are always chasing them. And, you know, they're under pressure constantly. And because they don't know the science of Krishna consciousness, you know, even they get a lot of wealth, they use it in a way which just causes them ultimately distress, binds them in the material world. So by material means, one cannot find a real satisfaction of heart. Prabhupada said that it's because the soul and the body are of different energies. They're different. To think that one can satisfy the soul through material means is it's illusion. It's incongruous. Soul, the real person, can only be satisfied by spiritual means. Which is why, you know, devotees can live simply and be happy. That's proper. Simple living, I think, is simple. Just don't complicate one's life so that one has all kinds of worries and constantly has to think about how to adjust the material energy this way, that way. Why we should give ourselves so much trouble. But of course, Maya is making propaganda. Maya has so many agents preaching on her behalf. Advertising all kinds of pleasures in the material world. How you can really enjoy life. So the living entity, human beings are being bombarded with this kind of propaganda. This is understandable why, you know, most human beings are under the grip of Maya. To get free, not so easy. Maya may give different kind of obstacles. Try to trip the devotee up, keep him bound up. Don't let him escape. That's a test. But a devotee has to be steadfast, he has to be determined. As Rupa Goswami said, Utsahan nischayat daryat tat tat karma pravartanat sangha tyaga satovriti sadbir bhakti prasidati. So enthusiasm, endeavoring with confidence, patience, Following the rules and regulations, avoiding association of non-devotees, and following the footsteps of the previous acharya. These six things help one to advance in Krishna consciousness. Here in the text too, Krishna is saying that steadiness in one's own position is declared to be piety. This can be related to devotional service, of course. Well, in the material world, steadiness in one's position is piety. Generally, you know, if he's an upstanding citizen, follows the rules and regulations, etc., a society of the scriptures. But steadiness in Krishna consciousness is a real boon. Not to waver from the path of Krishna consciousness, not to allow Maya to pull one off into illusory activities, somehow to stick to the process very, very, very steadily. Well, I think of steadiness, I always remember Giriraj Maharaj in Mumbai temple in the early days of a very difficult situation there, living on that land in Juhu, you know, no proper accommodation, you know, devotees are living in tents, and just he had to face so many problems, initially from mosquitoes and rats and so forth, but you know, then from the municipality, so many obstacles to try to, and from that Mr. Nair who was trying to cheat. Well, this is a difficult, difficult service actually. And there was a time that Prabhupada had different GBCs for India. They changed, you know, several times. Senior persons Prabhupada would put there, and one after another they left the service. It was too tough. But he, Giriraj, he wasn't a big sannyasi or GBC. He was simply brahmachari. But he's very steady. He just tolerated all the difficulties through thick and thin, being very dear to Prabhupada because of that. And of course, you know, because of that steadiness and due to Prabhupada's guidance and encouragement, they were able to overcome the obstacles. So they fixed dridavrata, fixed in determination. Giriraj fixed in determination to carry out the orders of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also fixed in determination that there will be a beautiful temple for Radharasa Bihari on Hare Krishna land. So, you know, due to that steadiness, that determination, that, you know, today we can see beautiful temple, thousands of people coming every day to visit, have darshan, take prasadam, take books. It's a very dynamic preaching temple, and there are so many temples like that. So if devotees are steady in that way, here also, devotees are very steady. Senior devotees have been very steady. So this creates a strength and others can take shelter in such a situation. So this is important. You know, steadiness and ability to analyze our situation in this world, evaluate, you know, the different influences, the different factors that surround us, and make the right Krishna conscious choices in a very systematic and steady way. So that is the path to perfection. So, any question or comment? Yeah. Well, that's all right. You mean just in a materially pious way?
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it's better than acting in an impious way. But, you know, Krishna's not especially impressed by that. You know that verse? Tatena, sorry. Chakvasva dharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajana pakpo tapatet tato yadi. Yatrakava Badra Buddha Mushakinko Varta Apto Bhajatasva Dharmata. This is spoken by Narad Muni. You know, that persons who have given up their material obligations to take to Krishna consciousness, they may sometimes get in difficulty, you know, due to immaturity. But others, even though they perform all their occupational duties very perfectly, they're very pious materially. They don't gain anything. So spiritually speaking, it's not very impressive to Krishna that you're a, you know, a very upstanding person on the material platform. But it's better than being in a, you know, a rogue or a rascal.
Because sometimes you say that materialists, they seem quite happy in themselves. I know they're living in a self-motivated life. They seem to be quite satisfied with themselves and their lives. Is that, sometimes I wonder, they get that satisfaction because in some way Krishna is pleased with the way they are acting, even if it's not devotional service?
Well, it's, you know, pious, and there's certain benefits from that. But when they have to leave it, they won't be too satisfied. Isn't it? They have to leave that, you know, comfortable life. Generally, they become quite distressed. But we're all forced out from this, however, you know, well arranged our life may be. So we have to understand it's a temporary position. The only permanent position is in the spiritual world, in Krishna consciousness. But still, you know, it's good to be regulated and to adhere to the laws, certainly. To be organized on the material platform, Prabhupada liked that, isn't it? That devotees be organized, or they deal nicely. As he said, first dress, then address. And present yourself nicely. He wasn't so much in favor of, you know, devotees, you know, dressing up like Babaji's. Because he knew people won't respect, won't listen. He also constructed temples and so forth, so there'd be some institution, people would show respect to that. So material organization has value if it's used nicely in the service of the Lord. Yeah, there will be some effects from that, for sure.
Is that karma, or is that just the reaction from Krishna?
Well, if a person is always trying to engage in devotional service, we won't consider as ordinary karma, but still there's a reaction. It's like Prabhupada says about the demigods. The demigods are sakama devotees. They have material desires, and because of that they get certain reactions in the form of harassment from demons. But, you know, you can't consider it's like ordinary karma. But still there are effects. There can be reactions. You know, if you go speeding, you may get caught and have to pay a fine that day. You may say, well, it's not ordinary karma because he's a devotee, but still it's some kind of effect. The reaction is there. Okay, I have to go for some appointment, so thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samathita Bhaktivrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi Adibo.